The order for Wednesday, November 9th, the day after the election. Let's see, we have a quorum. Bill is absent.
He's over at Salem at AOC.
He's becomes the next AOC president, so he's spending more time over there, and rightfully so.
Happens a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Right. He becomes the new president of the Association of Oregon Counties. Reclamations and proclamations, we have none. We move down to consent calendar, and consent calendar items are things of a routine nature or we've previously heard. Is there anything you'd like to highlight, delete, or change?
I'll move for approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Say aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Move to public hearings. We have none. We go to decision and action. Declaring the Rhodes Inn Sanitary District dissolved. And Jerry, this is our issue.
I like an expert on this now.
I'm a Democrat that likes to make government smaller.
It's becoming smaller. You have the matter of the the order declaring the Rhodes Inn Sanitary District dissolved. And what I would like to point out is that accompanied to that, attached to that, is an Exhibit A, which is also an important document. The statutes contemplate that, in fact, a district is not dissolved under these statutes until you file, as the Board of Trustees, you remember you designated yourself that, a statement, it says, with the county board, but whatever, that the district has been dissolved and the affairs liquidated. And I'm going to go over that briefly with you. I think if it's okay with you, I'd like to go over the important aspects of the order and Exhibit A, and then I think we could make the next item, the water district, fairly short because it's pretty much like this with a few changes, a few differences.
Makes sense.
Okay. So this has been a process, and I appreciate the board's work on this and the other staff who've worked on this as well. It's been before you, but this is the final chapter. As we pointed out before, there was an annexation on December 10th, 2012, of almost all of the Rhodes Inn Sanitary District and Rhodes Inn Water District into this Lincoln City. And the problem that we faced when we looked at that, it wasn't the whole thing. So it didn't happen by operation of law, and it created some difficulties. But when this annexation happened, one of the things that happened is the sanitary district turned over its books and records to Lincoln City. That's already happened. I think that's important because usually what happens when we do these things is it has to go up to the clerk's office, and I'm sure the clerk has enough stuff that they have to deal with up there, but we're going to address that issue later in the order. So, and Wayne asked that we do extra due diligence on this, and you'll see a whereas in there. None of the three remaining residences within the district will be adversely affected by the dissolution. Okay, we're not going to adversely impact any residents, and we were able to verify that. As we go through this, what we did remember the findings of fact and a plan of dissolution and liquidation, and we found that we had real property taxes in about the amount of $46,106 and then plus interest that we were holding on behalf of the sanitary district that should be turned over to Lincoln City. We, in our plan, we stated that it is possible that additional district real properties from prior years could come in, and if they did, they would be forwarded to Lincoln City as well. So these documents, which you approve, the findings of fact, plan of dissolution, and liquidation, they were filed in the county clerk. So as a matter of process, if anyone has presumably had any trouble with this process, it was made known to the people through the clerk's office. It was available for anyone to stop by. We did not get any comments that I'm aware of, so it was on file there. And one other thing, Wayne has pointed this out. Every dissolution is different. It seems like there's about 100 different paths, maybe 1,000 different paths that they can take. In this instance, which I think is very good, because we're at the final stage, this dissolution, this order, and this statement can be approved without going to an election. That's going to save the taxpayers some money. It's going to save the clerk some grief. You can't always do that on these dissolutions. You just have to look at the facts. And in this situation, because you have found that it's in the best interest of Lincoln County that this district be dissolved, because it's uninhabited, and because they fail to regularly elect district board members, we can do this route without the election. I think that's a very good thing I want to point out. So let's go to the actual order portion. As a result of this order, you're going to approve the dissolution of the Rhodes End Sanitary District if you vote for this. We're going to turn over the approximately $46,000 to Lincoln City, and I have prepared a letter, which is, I think, in our mail receptacle. It'll be pulled if you don't approve this. But if you approve it, I have a cover letter to Richard Apicello, city attorney for Lincoln City, and it's going to indicate the action today, and here is your check. And the reason why I say that is that will be an important factor for you to be able to sign off on the attached Exhibit A, you know, that the affairs have been taken care of. An important recitation is that we take the position here that we are not going to deposit the district books and records in the office of the county clerk, with the reason being that the books and records have already been deposited with Lincoln City, which, in our opinion, is the proper entity to maintain custody of them based upon the annexation that occurred already. Sometimes this, you know, Wayne's good about kind of analyzing things. If you just blindly kind of look at the statutes, it just, you know, take it to the clerk. But it does not make any sense, and I would argue that because there was an annexation, that you don't do that, that you follow this recommendation and not clog our clerk with tons of records, presumably. And then what this does is we're going to send copies of this to the different people and entities that are listed here. And I'm going to ask, if you approve of this, that you not only sign the order, but you sign Exhibit A. Exhibit A's statement is that the Rhodes End Sanitary District has been dissolved and its affairs liquidated. I think you can say that because everything's taken care of in terms of the records and the money. If you have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, I'll go into very briefly the Rhodes End Water District.
Let's take care of one at a time.
Okay, that's quite fine.
Well, I guess, first of all, just a point of clarification. You said there are three homes, residences, families that are...
Yeah, as I recall, two of the residences are on one property, but there are three total residences.
And the reason they're unaffected by this dissolution is that they're still able to get services from Lincoln City, or...
I did bring the file with me, but as I recall, there's one septic system and maybe two connections to the city. But what is in place is in place. Okay. We're not going to adversely affect. I think there is one septic system and two connections.
So it could be septic, it could be well, it could be through the city.
Yeah.
But they're not affected. Okay, observation is there have been no board members since January 29th, 2014. So it's been...
Yeah.
At least 2.5 years since there were any board members.
So. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, this seems logical to me.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Just go ahead and take a motion.
Yeah, motion to adopt the order.
So take a motion.
I'll move for approval of the order declaring the Rhodes End Sanitary District dissolved.
I'll second that.
Okay. And for a point of clarification, that would include signing Exhibit A.
And execution of Exhibit A, Statement of Dissolution and Liquidation for the Roads End Sanitary District.
And I'll second that.
All right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And this motion passes. Now we'll deal with the Roads End Water District.
Okay. Thank you very much. The situation is very similar on both. And so one of the major differences is that we are not holding any tax dollars on behalf of the district. So that's probably the major. There will be no check that will be forwarded to Lincoln City, but on the other hand, the matter of assets and liabilities were taken care of up front. You know, the annexation was back in 2012, the transition in 2013. Those things have been taken care of. So it's very similar. The books and records have been turned over to Lincoln City. We did check on water utility services, and none of them will be adversely affected as in the other one. And we did verify that. The board has not been active. We know that. We went through a similar process of, there was this initiation, but we've had a plan of dissolution and liquidation. We've had that on file with the clerk, so that if anyone had any due process or other issues with this, they could have voiced their concern. That has not happened. Again, you can do this without an election, which will save the taxpayers money and the clerk some grief in our office a little bit of work, for the same reasons as I gave you on the Roads End Sanitary District. So this order does much the same. It would declare the Roads End Water District dissolution approved. It would implement the plan of dissolution and liquidation. Since we're not holding money, what it really means is if in the future the Lincoln County Treasurer receives additional district real property taxes from prior years, that will be forwarded to Lincoln City. We've talked about the books and records. We will not do that. This has under oath a statement of dissolution. I would ask that you consider approving that. And we will send off copies to the various state agencies and entities listed here, so that everyone is aware that this matter is taken care of.
I'll take a motion. Any short discussion?
No, I'd just say that it's pretty clear that both of these entities have been inactive. They've had no board members. There's been no activity. So really all we're doing is doing some paperwork to clean up the records. So I'll move for approval of the order declaring the Roads End Water District dissolved and execution of the Statement of Dissolution and Liquidation for the Roads End Water District.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Jerry, how many more of these do we have to go, do you think?
We have, thank you for asking. The Coronado Shores is one that is high on the list there. And the good news is yesterday I actually prepared a petition, and I've done the timeline, and I've also gotten a list of all the electors, 217 electors roughly, and we have, by letter, sent them off to one of the former board members.
Well, I'm more interested in the number of these. Have we got
okay, so
more
we have
districts?
That one. Okay, a second one is Olawa. We do not have that one taken care of, but with Wayne, I'm working on, there's some issues to make sure that we're clear and no one is adversely affected, and we're looking a little more to make sure that there aren't any assets that we don't know about. So I also got one, so that's two. Beverly Beach actually got a letter on that one saying that, the records had not been submitted to the state. That's Beverly Beach, I think, Water District. And I did some checking on that, and the good news is those reports have been now submitted. And the letter actually came out, I think, about a year ago. But I just saw that. I called. I made the check you know, checked on that. We will not need to do anything. They have filed with the state the required report, so that's good news. Let's see. You've dissolved three so far. There may be one or two more, but there are two that are close in the pipeline. Now, the one thing about I want you to know about Coronado Shores, it looks that one will require an election. We can't help that. It's just a different track.
Okay. Good. That gives an idea what's going on so the public knows what's going on from this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Move down to discussion information, jurisdictional transfer for Big Creek Road, County Road 402, to the City of Newport.
Commissioners, if I might start off, maybe okay. Just a little background history. As you recall, the city had entered into a process to annex property which it owned into the city limits surrounding the Big Creek Reservoir, which is the City of Newport's water supply. That was taken into what was outside of the urban growth boundary was taken into the urban growth boundary, then annexed to the City of Newport to the point where the improved part of Big Creek Road is now fully within the city limits. At the time that this was going on, we had discussions about transferring jurisdiction of Big Creek County Road and entered into a memorandum of agreement to kind of govern how we would approach the transfer, the eventual transfer of that road. And so when that was completed, we did a legalization of the road to actually make sure we knew it was just that where the boundaries were of the road. That was completed. You finalized that process. And we initiated the process to have the discussions with the city about transferring the road. And in the course of doing that, questions were raised by the board in terms of what the long-term future of the road was that we couldn't answer, staff couldn't answer, and we wanted to get representatives from the city here to answer your questions for you. One of the things that we had offered to do, as we do when we look at transfer of roads, was to make some improvements before we make the transfer, and that was one of the things identified in the memorandum of agreement. And then when we talked to the city about making the actual transfer, they told us they did not want us to do those improvements, and there's some reasoning behind that, and I think that'll be explained to you today. So we're at the point now where City Manager Spencer Niebel is here. I think Derek Tokos is on the way, hopefully, but if not, Spencer can answer your questions to give you some more information around this so we can see where we go next. And then Roy Kenyon's here, our Public Works Director, who has, of course, the intimate knowledge of the road itself.
So what do you come up and...
No, I don't.
Both of them are hot. And please identify yourself.
Yeah, I'm Spencer Niebel, City Manager, City of Newport.
Rory Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director.
So, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I can give you a real brief overview if you would like.
Sure.
Okay. As has been indicated, the city has been working on the annexation of property around the reservoirs that we have for our city drinking water system. And a number of things are happening in the short-term future and potentially in the long-term future regarding the reservoirs. One of the most critical issues is both of the current earth dams that are in place are seismically challenged. If we have even a moderate earthquake, there's a chance that the lower dam would fail, and the upper dam would likely fail, depending on circumstances, with a more major seismic event. And so the city has embarked on a process of taking a look at the alternatives of how can we deal with either stabilizing the existing dams or do we need to look in the long-term future of constructing a new dam to replace
them? Sure. Question at this
yes.
Because you said fail, and I assume a catastrophic failure means that at least the lower dam would be water would go down through the valley. Do we have any estimates of what the damage would be to the houses that are down?
There is a estimate of what would happen if we had a complete failure at high, and both reservoirs were at high water, and it would impact some of the homes that are below the dams.
Are they aware of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's a significant issue that the city has been working on. The alternative that city commission has authorized us to pursue the feasibility of is the construction of a new dam that would be located between the lower dam and the upper dam. It would be a rolled concrete dam structure. It would be a dam that would be higher than the existing upper dam, and it would increase the reservoir capacity as well as creating a seismically sound structure to survive a Cascadia type event from a complete failure of that structure.
So I'm going to ask the same similar question. The houses and property above the second dam, which is where most of the residents are they fully aware of the potential changes that may happen when you say raise? Do they raise high enough to affect those homes that are above?
It would not affect the homes and the private property that's there. The area that would be impacted by an increased containment area is city-owned. The one thing that would be affected, and that's the reason that we opted not to have the county make the investment in the improvements in the road, is that portions of that road would have to be relocated in order to deal with the new impoundment that would be created.
I'm just looking for clarification. This middle concrete dam, would that take the place of both the upper dam and the lower dam?
Yes, both those dams then would be demoed, and there'd be one dam with a larger containment area for the reservoir for the water for the city.
I already answered the other question about impact on the neighborhood.
So the when the response came back from the city indicating that we did not feel that it would be a good investment of county funds to improve the guardrails and the other items on the road, the basis for that is we're going to be potentially having some construction that's going to actually change some of the alignment of the road through that area. From a city standpoint, we're certainly aware that we need to maintain access to the private property owners that currently use the roadway to access their properties along the reservoir, and that's something that we are obligated to maintain. You know, again, whether it's a county road or a city road, as part of the development of the new reservoir that would be created at this location. And so that's something that we're well aware of. The other thing too, I think there was some concern regarding concerns that the city was going to make some immediate changes in access to the reservoir. And I think, as you all know, the reservoir is an important recreational facility for a lot of folks in the area for fishing. And certainly, none of our plans have any intent to change that. The importance of having that facility available for recreational use.
So now, I'm going to keep asking questions. I think it's when you're going through an area, sometimes it's hard to go back and recapture what you said. So the second dam, or the new dam that's there, have you done the engineering so you know what height that dam will come, and do you know the location of the second dam?
At this point, we are doing a feasibility study on that potential location for that dam that would fall between the lower dam and the upper dam.
So it's probably going to be somewhere around where that culvert crosses.
Yeah, there's an area.
Yeah, there's two ridges there.
Yeah, there's where the two ridges come together. That's the area that is being explored. And one thing that's happening, that's going to happen in the very near future, is we're doing a series of borings, or having a series of borings done to determine depth to bedrock and other things through that preferred location to make sure that actually could accommodate the type of structure that we're proposing to put in there.
So and do you have an idea of what the height level might be? Do they have a preliminary, any idea?
There is a preliminary height level. I don't remember, you know, what that is, but it is higher than the upper, it'd be higher than the upper dam.
Be higher than the upper dam. It'd be pretty high dam because down there. So, okay. Cool.
So anyway, I think from the standpoint of moving forward with this issue, the only other concern that we always have is the reservoirs are the source of the drinking water for all of us in Newport, And from a regulatory standpoint, you know, from time to time, state and federal regulations impact various issues regarding reservoirs. As you see high-profile news stories and reservoir problems in Portland, sometimes those things will trigger requirements that we don't know at this point. But it's certainly our intent to continue keeping this facility available not only for drinking water but also for recreational purposes in the future.
That's been one of the big questions for a lot of people because it's used so much by so many young people in this area and old people that don't get access to many other fishing locations. You'd think with all the water we'd have in Lincoln County, but there's really a very limited amount of accessible area where you can catch fish and of any amount. And our reservoirs here seem to be one of the few places where...
I'm always amazed at the selection of lures hanging on the power lines.
That sounds like me.
And there's some big fish in there. I know one of the kids showed me a picture the other day of over a 6-pound bass that was pulled out of that reservoir, and I was pretty impressed. I didn't know there was one that big in there.
Yeah, we do, as I'm sure you know, we do periodically have issues of people dumping trash and stuff like that, and so we will continue to work to try to have reasonable controls to prevent that from occurring, because again we don't want that in our drinking water. So
yeah. A lot of times there's trash containers there and they get filled up and nobody's been able to do it. Maybe it was to get to them quick enough, because there's a lot of trash at a certain month, and the rest of the time there's not much trash put in there, so there's only a limited time period when those trash containers really fill up fast. So
I know Commissioner Thompson has in other venues talked about the issue of water availability, and from what I understand, this new reservoir would have a larger impoundment of water. What's the feeling as far as how adequate that will be, how long into the future as far as growth?
Well, from a from a growth standpoint, it's our plans and our opinions that we have to create additional capacity beyond Big Creek for the long, we're talking very long-term growth of the region. And as you know, there's currently a regional discussion going on regarding the various water resources that are available in Lincoln County, and taking a look to see, is there, from a collaborative standpoint, does it make some sense to have some sort of collective process to deal with these longer-term water issues that occur throughout Lincoln County in some more of a collective way? And so we are actively engaged in that process, and hopefully the discussions through that effort will lend some strategies that can be implemented on a regional basis for dealing with these longer term issues. And I think from a city standpoint, we're probably in a little better shape than certainly some of the smaller water systems. I know that during the real dry seasons, Depot Bay was having some pretty serious supply issues. Yahats was I think not serving water at restaurants in order to preserve, their water as well. So there are a lot of resources that are limited for some of these water systems that exist, and it is pretty amazing how many small little water districts. I see that we have one less today, but we're
doing our part.
But it is interesting to know how many small systems there are scattered around the county. Until we started getting into this collaborative effort, I wasn't really aware of that, and so I think there's some real room for some very long-term planning to try to make sure that we've got adequate water for both drinking and certainly Georgia Pacific has had water limitations last year as well. We need to make sure we have industrial water available for them, and I think from an environmental standpoint too, there's a lot of concern about the amount of water that comes from the Salettes, for these drinking systems, water systems. Rocky Creek has been one of those longer term issues that may supply some substantial amount of drinking water. Again, we're talking decades from now, but with very limited negative impact on fisheries and so on, because it's not a fish area for salmon. So I think there's a lot of stuff and a lot of exciting things that are going on outside of what we're doing with this, but our primary issue is we have pretty serious concerns over the structural integrity of the dams, and we need to do something about the Big Creek dams.
I may be asking the wrong person, probably Derek, but how much water does the city of Newport draw from the Siletz? Any idea?
Yeah, I can't tell you offhand. I can get that to you. But I do know that we draw from the Siletz from usually the end of June. So the Big Creek can maintain our water needs up until about the end of June. Then we draw until we start running into the rains in the fall. So those are the we're drawing from the Siletz over a number of months, and then we don't draw from it for most of the year. And so a larger reservoir will provide if our use didn't go up, a larger reservoir would reduce our dependence on the Siletz, because we'd be able to store more of the water that we get during the rainy season, and we'd have to rely less on the Siletz, or it'll help us keep up with the growth curve that we may need for water in the future too.
So one of my main concerns is that if we have two bad years on Toho, we're now listed as threatened. I thought we were going to get off the threatened list. It looked like we had two good years, but now it looks like we're going to have two bad years following it. So, and they're only a 3-year life cycle fish. If that happens, National Marine Fisheries Service has very few places to look to preserve the Endangered Species Act from kicking in. And one of the places would be to keep water in the rivers, which means human consumption would all of a sudden be stopped, or it'd be where we're extracting the water at. Any comment on that, or have you had any experience with that?
Basically, my only knowledge of it is a discussion we've had on it previously about the potential threat. I haven't had any discussions about how it would potentially impact our drinking water use from a city standpoint. And I don't know how those regulations would trump existing water rights on rivers like the Siletz. But I do know that there seems to be some sort of, I think I know. I'll cage this as someone told me one time that from the Siletz, the first casualty would be the industrial water use, and then the drinking water use would be the next. There's priorities of the water rights. So I think based on if there were additional restrictions on the Siletz, I think probably the first would be the industrial water that would be threatened, which is not good news for Georgia Pacific at all. So
it's not good news for us. Right. It's a lot of jobs. And I'm an advocate for trying to keep as many jobs as we can here. You have lawyers. I think if you find out anything different than what I've found out about how this system would work, I'd sure be interested in it.
We can certainly.
It seems like to me like a potential threat to not only Newport, but the whole Central Coast, that should be addressed from an official point of view rather than from hearsay and experience in the past with dealing with water and fish issues. There's got to be some experts around in these fish issues so that as we have the discussion, it's not hearsay, it's evidence.
Would there be a contact at the state that would be a good place for us to start?
Well, I'd say one of the first places would be with ODF&W. And then, of course, the big kahuna is the National Marine Fisheries Service. And those two entities have experience in this because they've dealt with endangered species of all kinds. I'm not sure to what level. I know they have in Eastern Oregon had endangered species where they've had have impacts on human consumption of water supply and water rights, but I think we need to address it from Lincoln County, from more than, I mean, in anything like this, there's to the best of our knowledge, but let's get the knowledge from those agencies.
Sure. No, I think that's something we can follow up on.
Well, it seems to me like the creation of a larger impoundment to collect non-SLETS water is really a step in the right direction.
No, I think it is too, yeah. Because if we can reduce our demand on our water rights on the SLETS, that makes either more water for the SLETS or more water available for other entities on the SLETS. So.
So, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I think it's good as the city's addressing the issue as far as Big Creek. Certainly that's the short-term issue, and then the reason I asked the question I did about future, it's nice to know that they're, that Big Creek isn't being treated as an isolated situation, and there is a concern about future growth. But I also think it's good to be proactive as we look at water and the Endangered Species Act rather than be in a defensive position when the problem starts to be an issue. So I think that's good on both points.
Yeah, I think one of my big surprises coming from Michigan, which has a lot of water around it, and thinking Oregon was very wet, I never thought water issues would be as critical on the Oregon coast as what they actually are. So that was one of those surprises I've had in making my move west.
So I guess my question to you is relates to the road. So the existing road isn't the best shape could be for public use. I mean, it's one lane, sometimes pretty muddy, pretty slick, and there's some problems in there.
Well, it's a typical rock road, county rock road. Yes, it's narrow in some areas, but that's basically due to lay of the land. When the road was probably rebuilt, which we found from the legalization that it actually existed somewhere else. When it was rebuilt, it was built above water level. It's canyon, so it's perched on, you know, it's cut. It's a cut road. But, yeah, it's narrow. It's got some narrow spots, but as far as the maintenance goes, we maintain it the same way we do all of our other rock roads. There isn't anything unique about the road, other than it's beside a reservoir. It's the only one that we have that's like that.
So you're in favor of transferring it to Newport?
I am. As you well know, that we are going to be inheriting another 7.5 miles of road, and you know, getting down to brass tacks, we can't afford really to maintain what we currently have. Therefore, if I can reduce the number of miles that we maintain, it makes everything better for the remaining system. It's not my favorite road, Big Creek. It's I think it would be well suited as a city road and a city jurisdiction. They're probably on the road more often than what we actually are because they actually have facilities there. They have their water facility maintained. I see their crews up and down the road all the time. It's probably more convenient for City of Newport to maintain it because of the location of their public works department. I have no issues with it.
Any comment about?
We're here to help some of your miles of new road by taking some over. So.
We've got some other ones.
And I was just going to say that one of the criteria we've been looking at, in fact, we are looking at roads throughout the county. This is the roads that are complete within city limits are more appropriate in most circumstances as a city road rather than as a county road. And we've got some others we'll be talking to Newport. We have been talking to Newport about.
So. Are you ready to make any of those public? The public has any ideas what we're talking about?
Well, it's pretty easy to know. I mean, you know where the city limits are if there's a road. And maybe it's not easy to know.
No,
who
has every person doesn't know. So.
Yeah. Well, let's just say there's other roads, and we'll be coming to you and discussing some other roads that are county roads totally within city limits, not just in Newport, but in other areas too.
Okay.
So, Commissioner Thompson, I know one of the concerns you had in previous discussions was continued accessibility for the residents and the recreators. Are you comfortable with that situation now?
Well, I am. Molly Spencer's there, but we don't know what his next predecessor might be, or what, unless we have it in some kind of an agreement that, as long as it's reasonable. I understand, but I would like to see it maintained as a recreational, and it is a beautiful area, and it has a lot of benefits to members of the community. But likewise, we have to have it. Now, the residents, that's a different issue, because there, I think we have an obligation that they're still allowed.
Yeah, and that was addressed.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. We have to trust their intentions.
Exactly.
Anything else on this issue? Either of you?
So, I'll just clarify. So, if this transfer is made, you indicate when this dam is built, there may be new alignment of the road?
Correct. There would have to be set.
Hear me out here. So I have a request to make. Since I run that road in half marathons, would you make it a little more lean?
I don't know if I could go back.
We'll take that under consideration.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
So do we need a motion?
No, what we will do now, if this was your opportunity to get the information from the city, and if you're ready, we actually crafted, when we started this process, it's an order that initiates the transfer, and then there's a whole procedure you go through under ORS Chapter 368. But I can bring that back out to your next meeting with that order, and get that process started, and then go through the formal process. There's some give and take with the city on that. So
I don't know, say I have some reservations about Doug's issue, because it's hard enough to build a fish ladder, but to try to build an elevator for the Doug Hunter.
Why, there are times when you sure wish there was an elevator. Well said.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, well, thank you.
Good job.
Oh, we go down to reports. So, we have commissioners' reports. Do you have anything?
I might just quickly point out that I attended a meeting on Monday to talk about rural banking services. And within Lincoln County, we've experienced the departure of some financial institutions. Celeste lost the one bank they had in their community. Yahats lost the one bank branch they had in their community. Toledo lost a branch, they now have two branches two different bank branches versus three different bank branches. So it was an interesting conversation, and I think for the most part there was a better understanding that financial institutions obviously are operating for profit, and when you start talking about, we can give you these deposits, or we need the ability to order change and deposit cash, those really aren't the things that are attractive to a financial institution, which would then provide the motivation to come back to those communities. But there was some talk about loans. Loans are certainly where banks, financial institutions make their money. And there's also some talk about maybe some collaborative efforts for the businesses and the other public jurisdictions to get together to kind of pool the cash. There are equipment that can sort coin, roll coin, sort currency, bundle currency. So was, I think, a productive meeting from the standpoint that it helped identify what the real opportunities to attract a financial institution to some of those communities were, and what some of the areas that wouldn't be attractive. So it was a good meeting, and I think is encouraged additional discussion on what are the attractive areas that may bring branches back.
And I'll mention AOC next week. Association of Oregon Counties has their annual meeting, and we won't have a meeting here. But we discuss all the major issues, especially after the election. We're going to give a feel for how this next legislative session will wind up. Plus, we get to meet with all the federal staff members and people there. It's always been, I found, very productive when it comes to the political issues that we all deal with on the state and federal level. We'll be back in 2 weeks from now, but this should be an interesting one after the election, how things are going to sort out at this AOC conference.
My understanding, too, is that AOC is expecting the largest incoming class of freshman commissioners in its history, so lots of change.
There has been a lot of changes in commissioners around the state of Oregon. Any constituent input? And seeing none, move on to executive session.
No executive session. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a quick one. Now I remember. I do need to talk to you about one thing. But you had that on the agenda. So pursuant to ORS 192-660, subprint 2H, we're going to discuss one quick litigation matter.
So do we recess or adjourn this one then?
We're not going to make any decisions, so just, yeah, I think you can go ahead and recess, and then we're not coming back in regular session.
We won't be coming back in public session.
No.
Okay. We won't come back then, so we'll adjourn this one, and our next meeting is November 21st at 9 o'clock here in the Board of Commissioners room.
23rd.
Excuse me, 23rd?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
23rd.
Sorry, I'm a bit, you're right.
David, thank you.
Thank you for coming.